Yeah, that was awesome. You know, what's amazing to me is the diversity of having all these, like 70 men. Some of them are bikers that ride Harleys. Some of them are CEOs of companies. Some of them are, just from different places, young people. And just to see the hand of God move on each one of them is beautiful. And that's what the Lord does. So I want to thank everybody for faithfulness of praying for the men, faithfulness. Some of you gave, so some people that could not afford it could go. Just so many ways. Many hands make the work light, right? Many hands make us better. And so I just want to thank Living Word Chapel. It's just wonderful. God's just beginning what he's going to do in the hearts of every one of those individuals that went up there this weekend. And so many of you were saying, Pastor, I wanted to go. I'm so mad that I wasn't able to go. Well, there's always next year. Amen? And so we'll be excited to see you to go there. I am going to start quickly because I need to end quickly. Because today we're going to have a serve fair. And we've been talking about serving with joy. And if you remember, I started out the series about talking that serving starts in the family. Serving starts in the home. And we talked about the importance of that and how God calls us to serve one another. It takes us from a selfish life to a selfless life. And how many of you would agree with me that we're better together? And it's hard to be joyful when you're doing everything by yourself. Kind of a hypothetical. Say you were, you know, just say you were doing jiu-jitsu. You know, not that anyone in here would. You can probably do it better together, right? You get better training. You begin to kind of push each other to go past what maybe you could do on your own. And so you just get better. It's like that with every facet of life. When you have people that join arms and link with you in the purpose that God has for you, it's always going to be better. And so families are better when you serve one another. A wife will be very frustrated if her husband doesn't come alongside and help her. A mom will be very frustrated. There's not a lot of joy in the home when the kids, all they do is play video games and all they do is sit down and want to be served. It's not even good for anybody. Amen? So churches are better when there's many hands that are doing the work together. I want to brag on Living Word Chapel. I don't think we're that church where people aren't serving. We're a church where people come alongside and you want to make a difference for the glory of God. And I want to talk about how important that is. There's three passages in the New Testament that talk about using your gifts. And everyone is gifted in here. Everyone that's a child of God, you've been given a gift by the Lord to make the world a better place, to make your family a better place, to make your church a better place. And there's a place in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 that we find how the gifts operate to edify the church, to make the church better. There's a place in Romans chapter 12 where it talks about how when you have a gift, you need to use it. Because it's not good for us to have a gift and not open it. And so Paul writes to the church in Rome, and he says, if you have this gift, use it and use it well. And then Ephesians chapter 4 is where we're going to be going today. And what we're going to find is how do the gifts help us to be ministers? So a minister is just someone who serves, someone who helps, who comes alongside and makes things easier for someone that's having a real hard time. And we're going to see how the church is called to minister. And I think you may learn something today that you didn't know before, because a lot of people get the misconception that in the church that the pastor is supposed to do the ministering. You ever heard that before? That's your job, Pastor. That's your job. But let's think about it. If the pastor does everything, then there's not going to be as much done as if we're doing this together. Amen? And we're going to see that in Scripture. We're going to see how the Lord puts it. Who dwells in every believer of Jesus? Who dwells in us? The Holy Spirit. So the Spirit of God is in every person who is a follower of Christ. And so that same Holy Spirit who dwells in me also dwells in the person who loves Jesus in the front row. Same Holy Spirit is in the person who's in the second row and who loves the Lord. He's there. He's present with you. And he wants to manifest the glory of Christ in and through you. Amen? So there's no such thing as churches where people come and sit in pews or seats for the duration of their walk. That's not the way it's supposed to be. Where you come and listen to a sermon and then you leave and you say, oh, that was good or that wasn't good or whatever takeaway you have. It's really about you coming and listening and then putting action behind it. Right? It's like the men going up to Alpine. We're going up to Alpine to meet with the Lord. However that song was, beautiful. Great job, Christy. But what if you go over there, you get excited. Oh, yes, yes, Jesus, Jesus. And you come back and you act the same than you were before you left. Then what good is it? Amen? You gotta fill up with the Lord and then do something with it. So let's go to chapter 4. If you got your Bible, you can go there. Or it'll be on the screen. It'll be in your outline. Ephesians 4, I'm going to read verses 11 through 16. And here's what Paul is laying out to the church in Ephesus, and it's going to help us. Now, these are the gifts that Christ gave to the church. The apostles, okay, the apostles, the prophets. Let me just touch on a little bit. The apostles, the first century apostles were called by God. They were sent ones that were sent out with authority. They're the ones that put the scriptures together. God manifested the ability, the mantle of the Holy Spirit was upon them, that they were able to lead the church in the first century and bring the things with authority. What they said had the authority of Christ on it, okay? So the apostles were vital. The prophets of the New Testament, you see that prophets got the oracles of God. God would speak to them and through them. And those prophetic words, they meant something. We see them in Scripture. There's still the gift of prophecy. There are times that God will give you a word of prophecy to encourage, to strengthen, to edify, to console the church. It'll always build up the church. Now prophet, that like the gift of prophet of the New Testament, I don't think we see it like we saw it in the New Testament in the first century. Especially apostles. When someone says, well, I'm an apostle, I have a real hard time with that because the apostles walked with Jesus. That's one of the things that was part of their qualifications. They saw him glorified. They saw him risen. And so that helps us to understand. And then it goes on, and then the evangelists. That's another gift, the evangelists. One of the great modern-day evangelists was Billy Graham. Billy Graham was a man just like us, but Billy Graham would speak and then thousands upon hundreds of thousands of people would come to Jesus. That's a gift. An evangelist speaks the word of God and then people come to faith. It's a wonderful gift. And then the pastors, right? And the teachers, that could be the same. Pastors that are teachers, but there's also a gift of teaching. So some people have a mantle and they're able to teach the word of God. The Bible also says, don't let all of you be teachers because you're going to receive a stricter judgment, right? So why are teachers going to receive a stricter judgment? Because we're preaching this and we better get it right, amen? And so that's important for us as teachers, right? Verse 12, their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work. Uh-oh. Their responsibility, the pastor's responsibility, is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church. In other words, if the body of Christ is not being built up and the body of Christ all doing their part, the church will not thrive. It will only survive. When you see churches that are surviving, they're in survive mode, they're declining, it's because they're not being equipped to go and make a difference for the glory of God. Are you with me? This will continue. In other words, it doesn't stop in the first century, doesn't stop second century. This will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature in the Lord. Now, how many of you know it's important that we are called to come out of diapers? If you have ever raised a child and they're 7 years old and still in diapers, it's an ugly thing. It's an ugly thing if they're 7 months old. But you know that they still have to mature a little bit, right? They got to start saying, I'm going to get potty trained. So we're called to mature. And that's what God is. That's why the gifts are being operated. That's why pastors and teachers and evangelists and the prophetic gift, all these things are working to take us from one dispensation of infancy into another dispensation of you become a toddler in the faith, and then you become a child in the faith, and then you become an adolescent in the faith, and then you become a young man and young woman in the faith, and then you become mature in the faith. And then you become very wise in the faith, and then you start pouring into other people in the faith. That's why gray heads are important. They're important, especially if you've grown in your faith. But if you're a gray head and you haven't grown in your faith, then you're just like an infant, and that's not what God has called you to be. He said, we need to mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. And when you do this, verse 14, then we will no longer be immature like children. We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever that they sound like the truth. That's exactly what the devil did with Eve. He lied to Eve. Did God really say? And Eve had a conversation with him, and then Adam was no better. Adam was there in the very beginning with Eve, and he allowed the devil to twist things and say, if you eat of this fruit, you're not going to die. In fact, you're going to have the knowledge of good and evil. And so that still happens today, that the enemy is going to try to use people to distort the word of God and take you away from the grace of God. Number one, we're saved by grace, not by works. We're saved by what Jesus did, not by what we can do. But because we're saved by what Jesus has done for us, we can do a lot of good for the glory of God. We're called to begin to move and do things for him. But you have to mature in the process. Instead, we will speak the truth in love. How many of you know that sometimes you got to tell people what they need to hear, not what they want to hear? Mature people understand that. Mature people are not judgmental, but they're also not enablers. An enabler says, it's okay, keep on doing what you're doing, but this person is about ready to walk off of a ditch, walk into a cliff, right? There's sometimes you got to speak the truth in love. There's sometimes that you've got to help somebody that's headed in the wrong direction. But we do it in love. We speak the truth in love. We grow in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of his body, the church. Now, this is important. This is vital. You're not supposed to grow to be like me. You're supposed to grow to be like Jesus. If I look like Jesus, if my life reflects Jesus, then you say, you know what, Pastor James, he's walking in the things of God. But I'm going to tell you, I'm not the answer. He is. The person who stands behind this pulpit is not the answer. The answer is Jesus, who went to the cross for you. And he rose from the dead for you. And so we're supposed to grow up and look more and more like him. And he's the head of his body, the church. He's in control. Amen? And we're all the body. Every one of us, we're part of the body of Christ if Jesus is your Lord. Jesus makes the whole body fit together perfectly as each part does its own special work. It helps the other parts to grow. Now, that's important. If everyone is doing their part, we grow and we're better. What would happen, beloved, if I came out of my mom's womb, I was a baby, and what would happen if every part of my body grew except for my leg, my right leg? What would happen? I wouldn't be able to walk the way that I can walk now. And those things happen, but they're not supposed to happen, right? That's not God's intent. What happens, you know, sometimes, I remember in my junior high years, my nose grew way too fast. It didn't wait for my body to grow up to catch up to it. You ever had that problem? Yeah, I thought I was all nose for a little bit, right? I'm still a lot of nose, but it's coming together now, right? So it says that when everybody does its part, then it helps other parts to grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing, and it's what? This is the most important thing. The body is full of love. See, I don't care. I got to kind of speak into what Leonard said earlier, because I don't care who pickets here or who does this there, and I'm like, oh, I love them because Jesus loves them. If it wasn't for Jesus, I don't know where I'd be. God has changed my heart. God has changed my life. He's changed my mind. He's changed my direction. The church is supposed to be growing into the love of Christ. And there's no better way to prove that than by serving. What have you done for me lately? Ooh, wow. Ooh. Right? What have you done? Think about it. When you're in your family, what have you done for me lately? When you're in the church, what have you done for us lately? That's important right there. That's important. So I don't have a lot of time because we're going to have a serve fair. I'm going to have all the directors come and share what they do, but I'm going to give you guys these points real quick, okay? Serving joyfully in the church. And how many of you that serve, with a show of hands, you're joyful about serving? I'm going to tell you this right now, that serving makes me more joyful, okay? It starts with you discovering your ministry gift. You've got to open up the gift that God has given to you. Now, I talked about Ephesians 4:11. I'm not going to go into that because we've already talked about it. But those gifts are servant leadership gifts. So the elders, the pastors that lead the church here, we should be the greatest servants in the church. Why? Because Jesus was the greatest servant. So if you're going to lead in the church, it's upside down in the world. In the church, the greatest are the ones who serve. Amen? So the elders and the pastors should be the greatest servers. And then everybody else should be serving as well. It's called servant leadership. Now, Paul writes to the Roman church, and this is what he says, verses 6 through 8. In his grace, in other words, not in your ability, but in his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. Why? Because a word of prophecy will build up the service. It's like oxygen going into a service. We got a word of prophecy about a month ago. So this lady that I never dreamt would give a word, she gave a word of prophecy, and it was like the church service went from here to up here. Because God spoke into the lives of people. So he says, if you're going to do it, you need to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. Don't do it half-heartedly. Don't say, oh, it's just the church. It's the church. It's the body of Christ. It's the one entity that will live on forever. Can I tell you, Walmart's not going to live forever. It's amazing. Target is not going to live forever. It's not going to live forever. You know who's going to live forever? The church. And can I tell you, the church is not a building. It's people. It's the ecclesia of God. So if your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you're a teacher, teach well. Don't come and without being prepared. Put your life into teaching. Put your life, like if you're going to give an account to the Lord, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If your gift is give generously, you give generously if it's giving. In other words, don't say, oh, I don't know. I don't know if I should. I don't know if you can never outgive God. And some people, God has actually blessed. I was talking to someone recently. They're telling me, you know what? God just blessed us and incredibly blessed. I said, let me touch you, bro. Because I was thinking, I didn't even know that there could be that much money, right? And so anyway, that's me and him. So we had to, but give generously, right? God blesses people to give. If God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. In other words, I'm going to give an account to how I lead every single one that God has entrusted into my hands. I better take it seriously. I better think about the lives of the people that come to Living Word Chapel. Amen? You won't stand with me before the judgment seat. I'll stand there. And God said, I put this mantle on you. I believe and I pray he's going to say, well done, good and faithful servant. Do it well. And if you have a gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly. Okay? Now, let me touch on 1 Corinthians 12, verses 4 through 7. There are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit, the Holy Spirit, is the source of them all. There are different kinds of service, but we serve the same Lord, our Lord Jesus. God the Father works in different ways, but it is the same God who does the work in all of us. A spiritual gift is given to each of us so that we can help each other. So if you are not using your spiritual gift, someone's not being helped. That's how important it is. Okay, number two. I'm going to move super fast now. I'm going to move super fast. I'm going to go for my 2000 Nissan Frontier. I'm going to get into my 2012 Dodge Ram 5.7. Have I told you? With a Hemi. Okay, we're getting in there. It wastes a lot of gas. I can pass anybody on the road. This one, I cannot pass anybody on the road. Over there, I can. Okay, let's go. Okay, number two, understand pastors, leaders are equippers, and God's people are called to be ministers. Pastors and elders were never called to do everything. There's nothing worse than a church where two or three people do everything. It's nothing worse than that. It's an unbiblical church whenever you're doing that. If you've been coming to church, I wrote this down so I got to read it. If you've been coming to church for over a year and have not connected to serving, it's not good. If you've been coming to church for over a year and you're not connected to serving, it's not a good thing. Amen? It's like having kids that you raise them and they don't throw the trash. No, really. It's like having kids and they don't pick up their socks. It's like God has called us to be doers, not just sayers. Okay, so this is what Peter says, 1 Peter 2:9. You are a chosen race. You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. So when you say that I'm not a pastor, not only are you a minister, yes, you are, if you're a child of God, but you're a royal priesthood. That's what Peter says. Every one of you has been given what you need from God to make a difference for his glory. There should be people that are serving in ushering. There should be people that are serving with kids. There should be people that are serving in the nursery. There should be people that are, we're going to talk about all that right now. You should be doing something. You should be working with youth. If you have ever said, man, the youth of today, they're headed down the wrong way, start working with them. Quit talking about it. Why are we going to build a school? Because we're not going to say about how our schools are going down. They've got this ideology that they're trying to impose on people. Instead of talking about it, do something. That's why we're going to put a school. Right? Number three, realize that serving unites and makes the church better. It unites people. Let me tell you what'll get you to build relationships. Do a project together. You might have to work through things. Oh, I can't believe they're doing it that way. I can't believe this. But when you finish it and you step back and you look and you say, we did it together, bro. Hey, sis, we did it together. Christ gave to the church the apostles, the pastors, the teachers. Their responsibility is to build up the church, the body of Christ. This will continue until we come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. Then we will no longer be immature people who are always in the sidelines saying, Monday morning quarterback, they should have done this way. You ever had a Monday morning quarterback? You ever played sports? And you're in the game? You're in the game, and guess what happens when you're in the game? It's not easy. You're working to try to make a touchdown. You're working to try to make a shot. You're working to try to relay race. Whatever, you're doing it. But people on the sidelines, oh, if I would have been in there, they could have done this. Well, get in there, homie. Get in there, vato. Right? If I was in that fight, I would have put him in an arm bar. Whatever. Get in there.